So I read an article just today about national trends that employers are facing. The top three trends that national employers in general are thinking about are burnout, a really significant issue, how AI and technology is advancing quite frankly faster than most employers can keep up with and integrate into their workflows, and also challenges with workforce engagement. And so I reflected on how those trends in general align with healthcare and our surgeons and providers. And I think a lot about provider burnout, which is real and incredibly concerning when we need these surgeons and providers to be available to our communities at large to care for our patients. How technology is advancing and changing your practices. And as well as the staffing challenges that we're having in ASCs, in clinics, and in hospitals, nursing, surgical techs, and many others. So these challenges are impacting each of you. And when you add on to that, rising costs for all of you and declining reimbursement for your practices, then you think about the dramatic shift to outpatient care and how patients' expectations are changing. It's a complex situation for surgeons to figure out. And why should you care, right? Why is all of this really important to you as an individual or to you as your group? These changes aren't abstract. They're real. We're also going to make compelling arguments that these changes are going to continue. It's not fleeting. It is the future that we have to figure out and work within. And so my focus here on The Brink is to equip you to understand the trends and to decide how you personally can take action that will influence your practice and your well-being. So with that, I want to introduce Jeremy Allen. Jeremy is NextCore's Vice President of Investment Research. The way that I view Jeremy is he lives right at that apex of research around healthcare, real estate, and capital. And I know that he's going to share really insightful learnings on macroeconomic trends impacting you. So I'm really excited, Jeremy, that you've agreed to be a guest with me on my podcast today. So Jeremy Allen serves as NextCore's Vice President of Investment Research. I've had the opportunity to work with you now for a few years and just really value your skill set. And the way that I describe your role is that you live at the intersection of healthcare, capital, and real estate. And you do that in ways that I can't and never will live, right? But the piece that I especially value is how you can help take all of that research and the trends and the data and make them understandable to me and actionable. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Carolyn. High praise. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to our conversation.
And I know, Jeremy, that you're going to be able to do the same thing for our surgeons that are listening. Take those trends and the data and make it understandable and actionable. So with that, let's just dive in. What are the macro trends that you're seeing that are impacting healthcare today?
Well, there are a lot of frustrations with inpatient hospital care. And this is where this whole ASC market really sprouted from. Looking back to 1970, the first ASC opened in Phoenix, Arizona. It was two physicians who sought out a more efficient and effective way to handle surgical care. Some of the reasons were scheduling delays, limited operating room availability, slow turnover. When they first opened, there was five physicians doing five procedures. And after the 6 month, it expanded to 225 surgeons and really support from over 40 insurers. It was a huge leap. So if you fast forward to today, there are over 6,000 ASCs. Mm. We're seeing over 65% of outpatient surgeries being done in ASCs. And this growth is only going to continue, tracking very closely to what we're seeing with outpatient volumes. And these are the trends.
It's really fascinating. Your comments make me reflect on my lived experience. So as a new nurse in the 80s, and working in the surgical areas, the vast majority of cases, to your point, were done inpatient. And I recall talking to surgeons at that point, being frustrated, right? we were slow on our turnovers. They would get bumped for emergency cases. There was a mix of cases that they were following. So the team wasn't committed or dedicated to their specialty and all of that. So I think it's just highly understandable about the trends that we're seeing.
Completely agree. And one of the largest trends that I don't think a lot of people realize is it's higher acuity, more complex procedures are being done in ASCs. Right now we're seeing cardiology, we're seeing complex spine procedures, things you would never think of to put in an outpatient setting, but that's moved and will continue to move. And it's really the result of the technology, and it's driven by the cost savings. So you're having precision robots handle some of this stuff that couldn't be done even 5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I remember leaving the Chicago market and going to Minneapolis several years ago. And one of my first aha moments was seeing total hips at that time being done in an ambulatory surgery center next to a hotel. And instead of the patient staying inpatient, which is the market that I'd been in, those patients stayed overnight, one or two nights. They were going to a hotel with home care nursing. And it's just another example, right? A real life example of now we're seeing those hips and knees go in a couple hours, be in an outpatient setting a couple hours and going home. So I think there's always fear, right, of what those outcomes will be. Can you reflect a little bit on, I think the quality data and outcomes data are also helping advance these trends. To your point, even cardiology now going very much outpatient.
It's all about the outcomes, and there are better outcomes for the physicians and the patients and the payers and even the health systems that are involved in this. Capturing market share, increasing revenue growth, better, lower readmission rates, you could say. So it's really across the board, full spectrum.
Yeah, you know, I think about as a nurse when we were convincing patients early on with total joints to go outpatient, you know, instead of the security of the hospital, which is what we had taught our patients in the past, it's all about you get to go home and be with your loved ones in your own bed, not interrupted with your sleep and all of that. So it's what you're saying is that we continue to advance by specialty some of those conversations and move procedures outpatient.
And it's the convenience and access. What we're seeing, these ASCs now, where they're located, it's not necessarily right next to the hospital. We're seeing them out in the community on the day-to-day, like the retail trade area for someone's in their neighborhood, you could say. So it's much more convenient access, better access, better convenience for your day-to-day schedule. What has happened? We've had this fundamental shift in our society post-COVID. For about a year, everyone was stuck at home. Mm-hmm. There was no commuting. There was no paying for parking on a day-to-day basis. There was more time with your families. So from a healthcare outpatient perspective, we followed those trends. People are staying in the suburbs. People are moving to these new areas called exurbs, which are beyond the suburbs. We're seeing examples of this in cities all over the country, these areas with lower population density, more open space, better access to recreational amenities. It creates, you know, a better work-life balance and lower cost housing. So you can actually afford to live there with skyrocketing housing prices today. There are certain cities out there specifically like Woodbridge, Virginia, Blackwell Mills, New Jersey, and Salina, Texas. There's just an article this last month in the Wall Street Journal talking about Welcome to Dallas, the city that just can't stop expanding, talking about Prosper, Texas, that has just grown astronomically over the past 5 to 7 years. Salina is actually north of this city, and people are continuing to move there because of all those things I mentioned.
So I think the takeaway for our surgeons is that this demographic shift and change is really important to them, right? Our providers and physicians that have historically sometimes stayed close to campus for proximity to the hospital now can and likely should think about moving their practices where our patients are, using those retail trends, which I think retail in the past used to be kind of a negative connotation in healthcare. But we've shifted that, to your point, through COVID, and really helping our providers and physicians understand their life can be enhanced as well, living in exurbs and suburban and practicing where they live and work and play as well.
Right. There's a totally different viewpoint from what we're seeing and what you'd normally put into a retail medical setting, which a lot of people call that medtail, which might be your chiropractor or your dentist in a strip center. At NextCore, we really try to focus on being at the retail hub of a market and putting our medical outpatient buildings there, our ASCs, so it's convenient for patients. And it's these areas are really the center of economic activity throughout a major metro area. When we look at these trends, we're really trying to understand, like, is this a fleeting trend or is this here to stay? We use mobile location intelligence data to help back this up. So all the apps on your phones that you're trying to turn off, but you can never turn off the location services of all of them. So they're still tracking you no matter what you do.
I'll remember that.
So there's companies out there that package this data, aggregate it, and then we can monitor these clusters, the movement of these clusters, the migration of these clusters across the country, and really understand, you know, not only what part of the United States, but what part of the Denver metro area are people going to. And this data is up to date, timely, as up to, you know, last month. So we use that to see what's going on and understand that this trend is pretty much here to stay. Offices in downtowns, we thought maybe there's this huge return post-COVID.
Right.
But now, as AI advances, you can do everything more efficiently. Mm-hmm. People are saying we may go to a 4-day work week. You know, there's all these things being thrown out there that it doesn't look great for those office buildings in downtown areas. So people moving out to suburban, ex-urban areas,
sure.
And then the healthcare following. Typically, the retail follows the jobs and the healthcare follows the retail. So as we watch this movement, we're trying to be at the front of the trend,
right,
with all these markets across the country.
So I think that's exceptionally helpful for our surgeons to really understand that movement. Let's hone in a little bit then on the trend around patients. You've started to discuss that, right, with where they're moving. And let's talk a little bit about their expectations, because I think that has fundamentally shifted as well. So, you know, as a health system administrator, what I recall is sending out written surveys to inpatients that left, and our returns would be a couple months later. And it was really hard to be actionable on the feedback from our patients. Talk to us about how that's changed, how we're getting feedback, the trends, and what our patients are telling us about their healthcare expectations.
Yeah, patient preferences are number one. Without the patients, we don't have the surgeries. So patients today really want a better experience. They want price transparency. They want better one-on-one communication. I can go into examples of just even the past week where I was trying to connect with a hotel, a restaurant, finding a reservation. It's all automated.
Right.
You can't really talk to a person. As you go to bigger, larger companies that are more efficient using AI, that's a trend. That's not a great trend. And we're losing that personal touch. With ASCs and with this control that physicians can have, that can only improve. And so I think that's a benefit for everyone.
So finding uses for AI that make care more efficient for patients and providers, and yet not losing the human touch is the key.
Exactly. Making your schedule more flexible so you can have more of that personal touch. I think that's the whole point, not just speaking to a computer,
right,
and just having a help desk with no one there except a speaker, right. I think is what we want to see. It's what the patients want to see. I'm a patient too. It's what I want to see. And it's where one practice can have an advantage over another without more personal touch.
Right. All right. Fantastic. Let's switch just a little bit then. We've talked about demographics and patients. Let's go to payers. Are they bucking the trend? Are they leading the trend? How are they interacting and defining this trend, this movement?
Yeah, payers are driven by the lowering of costs. So what we saw with CMS is they're adding nearly 24 procedural codes for 2025.
Wow.
For ASC covered procedures. And we're looking at this trend even growing for 2026 with the current administration. They're going to be more aggressive with that. So from a payer standpoint, they're reacting to that. They're being more supportive. They're covering more things. And this lowering of cost is the main theme, and everyone's getting involved.
So I understand the payer's desire to reduce costs, and I know patients also want transparency. Talk just a little bit about the quality of the outcome data, because I think that's the piece that is also important to support the trend.
Yeah, what we're seeing is faster recovery times, right, lower readmission rates, just more comfort, having more choice. The physicians can specialize more. So, you know, talking about sports medicine, you know, I have a family of youth athletes, and that is always a concern in my mind.
Sure.
Having more choices and be able to specialize and be more specific, I think, is just huge. That's a win-win for everyone.
So I think we've covered several of the macro trends. Let's now focus on our surgeons. What does this mean to them? And what does control look like for our surgeons?
I think there are a number of buckets of control, both clinically and operationally, that a surgeon can take advantage of within an ASC setting or having their own ASC. That quality control, lower infection, more decisions around innovation.
Sure.
You know, what robotics can we use, or you know, what type of imaging? They have total control over that. I talked about the ability to specialize. That's huge. And then just getting to that work-life balance, having the convenient scheduling, having team members that you can select, that you rely on for that, those quality outcomes. Choice of the equipment, design of the facility is a huge thing. And that just leads to more efficiency, which leads to more volumes, and which leads to more income.
Should really help them on the financial as well as their work-life balance.
Totally agree.
Well, I think we make it a wrap then, as we've shared all of these trends and really end and honed in on what control looks like for our physicians. So I really appreciate you joining me today.
So do I. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you. So our goal in the interview with Jeremy was to really help you understand the macroeconomic trends that are influencing us as a nation, as a country, and in your community, and then more specifically to you and your practice. And I think that Jeremy was able to help us understand those trends that are really important. I also hope that as part of my Ready Room experience for you, which is equipping you about the future, you're recognizing you don't have to be an economist to figure out how to deal with these macroeconomic trends. And you don't have to be a researcher. There are trusted authorities that can provide the information that you need to make good decisions for your future. The compelling argument that I think Jeremy made for all of us is that control is something that you can grasp within your practice. My experience talking with surgeons across the country is that they feel like things are out of their control, which is incredibly unfortunate and incredibly scary. And so what I want you to take from this interview is the understanding of the trends, but even more so than that, that you can take control for you and for your patients, for your family and your well-being by taking some action steps. Thank you for listening.